Welcome to the Pressing Coverage Podcast. I'm Mason, and as always, joining me, my good friend Max. Max, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing fantastic. Just watched a very, very entertaining game of basketball.
Good old shooty hoops.
Not the result I was expecting, though, with how the game was going.
It was, how you say, entertaining for sure. I just have two words for you, Max, and I'm not going to lie. I thought these two words were going to be Kyrie Irving, but instead, they're Kevin Durant. Max, what are your immediate thoughts after the game? We're recording this immediately after the game, everyone who is listening, just by the way.
So, I was honestly really surprised. I think you probably have the same opinion, that Cleveland really had control of this game through most of the second half. Last minute or two, Golden State really, they always hung in. They were in there the whole game. They're sticking around. But just one, Kevin Durant, he's been hot the entire series, entire playoffs. But yeah, he really saved Golden State's butt tonight.
In the last 2 minutes, really, Cleveland went 0-for-8 from the court. So that didn't help. And I don't want to say they turned off the gas. I think they just kind of got a little complacent where they were. And that is, I don't want to say just deadly in the playoffs, but it'll cost you, and it cost them. And of course, you know, it doesn't help when you're going against, you know, Kevin Durant and arguably one of the best teams, if not the best team of all time. So, you know, that that's unfortunate. I don't know, man. It's so hard to count this Warriors team out of any game. Like, you even look at the game back when they were playing San Antonio in game one, down by 23, and they just turn on the jets and they come roaring back. So, I mean,
they're so talented from top to bottom. You could say it's unfair how they've been playing this playoffs. They definitely have a chip in their shoulder from last year. They want to make things right. And they're definitely right on the path to doing that.
So let me ask you this, Max, if really, I guess, other than us getting a game seven somehow, which I was going to say, because I feel like that's the best scenario. It's the scenario everybody wants, is as much basketball as possible, especially after how disappointing the rest of these playoffs have really been. Is the best scenario Warriors in four? Just because it'll one, end the series faster, and two, it'll mean, you know, that we really are witnessing one of the greatest runs of one of the greatest teams ever. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think that going sweeping the Cavs is the best scenario for everybody? Or do you want to see, you know, Warriors in six or what?
So that's a tough question, because I would say, compared to you, I'm definitely more casual basketball fan. End of last season, especially after they got Kevin Durant, it's like, what was the point of watching all season? I know what's going to the eventual result be. And then how the playoffs have gone so far has made me even feel even more of that. So that it really, even though ratings have been up this season for the playoffs, it's been the least number of games in league history to get to the finals for the two teams. I really think at least one or two more games, or a few more games, it needs to be extended past four, or else I think it's just bad for the league, bad for the sport, bad for the fans to have a sweep in the finals. Like, yes, this game was a great game from start to finish. You can't really say the same about the first two games. Those were borderline blowouts. It's been entertaining to watch, but I want more. You've been waiting a year for this epic rematch, and I feel like it's just it's not living up to that expectation to me personally.
So I mean, so now that they're down 3-0, you want there to be more. You want there to be more, as much basketball as possible. But you also have to realize that a game seven right now has literally never been done before.
I think that if this is opening up a whole nother can of worms, but if LeBron and the Cavs can somehow rally and come back from this to at least force a game seven, I think that's something special. expect is going to happen? No, because this team is the Warriors. You could argue is probably one of top five best teams of all time.
Top three, probably.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's just it's just tough to watch because it really feels like no one can live up to the Warriors. Not even LeBron James and cast.
Well, what makes this so interesting is that I'll be honest. I want them to sweep the Cavs, not because I hate the Cavs, not because I hate LeBron, I love LeBron, but because I want to see LeBron's reaction next season to that. I want to see him go all Russell Westbrook FU mode next year and just be like, okay, you know what? We're going to tool up. We're going to get some new guys. Like, this probably won't happen, but just entertain the thought. What if the Cavs get Paul George and LeBron slides over to the four?
But then this is my point. If I don't – just these super teams are – it feels very – or very how the Spanish league is in soccer right now. It's just two teams and then everyone else is just there for a show. I feel like it's bad for the sport for there just to be two teams at the top and then nobody else.
So let me ask you this, okay. So you're saying that the Warriors are making the NBA boring?
I wouldn't say boring. I would just say it's not there's less parody. There's less unexpected. They're fun to watch. I enjoy watching the Golden State Warriors do what they do, but I would like to see, like, that's why I'm loving the NHL playoffs this year. The lowest seed team is in the finals. They're tied with one of the best teams in the league. I feel that's more entertaining to me than seeing a team just dominate.
I'd even argue that we haven't even gotten a fantastic Stanley Cup playoffs this year. I think last year's were a bit better, and, like, I think they've been good, not great. I think we've only gotten, like, two good series, and that was the Edmonton-Anaheim series and the
Pittsburgh.
No, the other one, the ones they played against the Senators. The Pittsburgh Senators series. And while the Penguins Capitals series did go seven, none of the games were really close in the end. And that's not a fair measure of the entire game itself. But, you know, looking back at it, I'm not going to really remember that series as much as I will the Senators Penguins one. But anyways, so I get what you're saying. Like, when the NBA, professional basketball is an entertainment product. That is not deniable. And it is entertaining based off of the competitiveness of the league. And from a competitive standpoint, yes, it is disappointing that one team kind of just dominates and steamrolls. But at the same time, they are incredibly fun to watch. Like, you can hate them all you want, and because, you know, they're better than your team and they're going to probably run the NBA for the next 4 years. But, like, I can't be mad at an organization that is run that well. You know, I can't be mad that Jerry West told Kevin Durant, hey, you know, don't go through your career like I did, where I didn't win a title and I regretted it for the rest of my life. Although Jerry West did win one, he did lose seven finals, other finals. So, you know, and they drafted all that talent except for KD, and they developed it so well. So, I mean, like, I can't be mad, because I'm kind of jealous that, you know, my favorite team isn't run that well, doesn't develop talent and draft that well. So, you know, and some of it was luck, but, you know, it's just like, you know, MJ made the NBA boring, because everyone knew MJ was going to win. You know, the Lakers and Shaq, Kobe and Shaq Lakers, they made the NBA quote unquote boring, you know, because they just, like, they mowed through everybody. They went 15-1 in 2001 in the finals. So, I mean, I think that the NBA is a better place with star-studded teams, with super teams, but I think it's the other teams that need to do the catching up. I think it's the other teams that need to pick it up, need to be run better. Like, I don't know if you know, remember a couple of weeks ago when KD was getting flack for ruining the parody of the league.
Yes.
He responded with, oh, is it my fault that Brooklyn traded three of their first-round picks to the Celtics? No. And he's got a point. It's not necessarily his fault. And Adam Silver, who was on at halftime, talked about this too. He said it should be an inspiration to other teams and organizations to really improve and pick it up, because that's what it's going to take to win, to beat everyone else in this league. And also, continuing this tangent, this is my last point in this tangent. It seems that we have gotten to a point with the NBA, or a lot of teams have, that it seems to be, it's either a championship or bust every year. And that, to me, that's just, I don't agree with that, because if the Warriors are going to be so dominant, then what is the point of making, of even trying? And that itself will ruin the entirety of the league. So I think it wouldn't just be the Warriors being so good. It would be the mindset of other teams. Like, a team that I applaud a lot, even though they haven't won a championship, is the Memphis Grizzlies. They try every year. They do their grit and grind. They compete. You know, they know that they won't necessarily win a championship every year, but they're going to try hard. They're going to play hard. They're going to do right by their fans, right by their team. That's very respectable. And the Dallas Mavericks do something very similar. They try to spend money. They sometimes whiff at big name agents, but they try to spend money, try to be competitive. And they've done right by Dirk this past year. So, you know, I think more teams need to stop trying to tank. I think there is a time and place for the tank, but I don't think you need to be just going into the tank every single year. So, my column.
So I had a really interesting conversation with my friend John earlier. We were watching the game. Was that, and I agree with it completely with what he says, is that the current state of the league is fantastic for just the casual average fan who wants to sit down and just watch a game of basketball with these great super teams. But for me, as somebody who is intrigued by the sport and wants to have a higher understanding and interest in it above just sitting down and watching a game every now and again, it's hard for me to want to invest that time when there's not this large, or that there's the results at the end of the day, almost, that there's two teams going to be in the finals, and that once that starts is when you could really get serious about some of the differences in arguments and stats and different things such as that.
It is for sure not nearly as close to being as parody heavy as March Madness and college basketball. That's, you know, inarguable. There's no argument there. But, like, what about the NFL? Everyone knows that the Patriots are going to make it to the AFC Championship game. But people still watch. People still care about it because it's still fun. The sport itself is fun to watch. And I guess to offer a solution to what you're saying, I think a great place to do that, a great place to get invested in the league, is to watch the NBA draft and really follow those young players. Because I think the NBA, more than any other sport, except maybe soccer, is the best sport in the world in terms of just simply being able to follow players versus follow teams. Because you have things like League Pass and whatnot. And like with soccer, you just have, you know, big names. You get those. You can just YouTube those highlights. And so I think with basketball, this year especially because it's such a deep draft, I think for the casual NBA fan, because to be fair, yes, it is the playoffs for probably the next 2 years aren't going to be have a lot of parity because of the Warriors and Cavs. But, you know, you get a chance to follow these, you know, potential 6-7 superstars that are going to be coming out of this draft. And we're going to look back in 10 years and be like, dang, this was a stacked draft. I think that's a good place to get started with if you're just a casual fan, because you get to start following those names. You get to kind of get older as those guys get older, watch them develop. And I think that is still a fun part of the league is watching those players grow, watching players just in general grow, watching people change, watching people ascend to new heights, watching some guys crash and burn, watching rivalries. So yes, there is at the end of the day, who wins the title is important, but I don't think it's the sole reason to watch basketball, because there's a ton more things to watch. The regular season this year was, I think, a success because of the MVP talks and whatnot. So, I mean, just something to think about.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see going forward what happens with the league, especially with the results of these finals. I'm definitely, like you said, I'm very interested to see what is going to play out in the draft. I just hope somebody just comes out of nowhere and is able to become a superstar and ascend a team to be able to potentially dethrone these two superpowers, which I think that would be very interesting to see happen. Or even what there's a few, I feel like there's a lot of teams that are right on that cusp of just needing one more player.
I think the one team that is one player away is Houston. Because I even think that this year was kind of a weird, unfair way to judge the playoffs because there were a lot of people hurt. And we are coming right off of last year's just amazing playoffs. Just the championship rounds and then the finals were just incredibly entertaining between Toronto and Cleveland and even and of course Golden State and OKC last year.
It's top because those series were so fun, and then you had the amazing finals. Yes. Just seems like this year is such a foil to
they were rebalancing the scales.
Yeah,
for sure. But it'll be interesting. I think I don't think that Golden State will be untouchable in 2 years from now. I'm fairly certain that, you know, someone's going to rise up. Someone's going to have to rise up at some point, and I think it'll knock Golden State out maybe once, but you know, it'll be fun to watch going forward because there is something fun about witnessing greatness. Like, everyone might hate Tom Brady, but also Tom Brady's incredibly fun to watch play. So, you know, there's that. Anything else you want to talk about the finals?
Something I found interesting, which maybe just me not being as observant. Did you know that the Cavs only played four players off the bench?
Did Shumpert start?
No.
So what, it was Shumpert, Richard Jefferson, Kyle Korver, and Deron Williams?
Yeah.
Wow, so Channing Frye didn't play at all.
Nope, the other four players on the bench were do not play.
Wow, I did not realize that until you just said it, but yeah, now when I said it out loud, it totally makes, yeah.
That's just weird to think that they played such a competitive game with such a short bench.
Yeah, well, I don't think Ty Lue can play a lot of those players. I don't think he can. I don't really think he can play Channing Frye. Richard Jefferson showed some hustle near the end of it, but he didn't play that great of a game. And Kyle Korver heated up in near the end as well, but he didn't play fantastic in the earlier in the series. So I mean, it doesn't surprise me that he's going with a shorter leash, just because, you know, LeBron's going to play 42 to 46 minutes in this average that much time.
Played 46 tonight.
Yeah. So, you know, obviously LeBron's going to be out there almost the entire time. Kevin Love's going to have to, he's going to be working his butt off. So, you know.
So let me ask you this. Do you think the storyline that's going to fall through the cracks tonight is Kyrie Irving?
I don't know if it'll, as in like just not get noticed.
Yeah, because since they lost the game, you know, the major outlets are going to definitely be focusing on Golden State and they're being blown away.
Yeah, I think because he made so many highlight plays, people will be like, oh yeah, Kyrie got his tonight. And of course, everyone that watches knows LeBron got his, even though it was one of the more quiet 35-point plus-point performances I've seen in a while, just because Kyrie kind of stole the show for the most part, just finishing at the rim like a madman.
The interesting part, though, about he did have a fantastic game. He was 0-for-7 from outside the arc, though.
Was he? He had no threes tonight?
Yep, 0-for-7. And he was -9 for the night.
Dang. But, you know, he finished 1-on-4 on that fast break in the third, I believe. And that was just like, my face melted immediately.
He would, yeah.
But I think the story that might go kind of unheard of, unheralded, was, this might sound dumb, but I think Clay might kind of get forgotten, because Clay had a 30-point game. It's his first 30-point game in the finals ever.
Wow.
And I think people are going to forget that, because KD dropped 31, including the game winner. So, it's just, man, I love me some Clay theism. Like, I'm a devout Clay theist. I fully believe in Clay Thompson.
I agree. I've been a fan of him as well.
I mean, he just has that same facial expression, man. He's a treasure.
He played more minutes than Steph tonight.
What'd you say?
He played more minutes than Steph.
Did he? Probably. I know he. I know Steve Kerr likes to go with that defensive rotation with him, Draymond, and Iggy out on the court at the same time. So, you know, and his, you know, the fact that he was heating up had something to do with it as well. So, also, so tell me about your favorite play of the game, and I'll tell you mine.
I definitely think LeBron going from on the floor not moving to his outburst right after that. That definitely. That was really cool to watch. I convinced me he's an android, 100%.
Ridiculous.
I guess other than if you exclude the game winning shot, but definitely what LeBron going from just getting laid out to that, he had a monster dunk right after that, right?
Shortly after, yeah, when he just nailed it down and it was just
echoed. that was NBA Jam esque dunk. That was fantastic.
I'm going to say my favorite was it was so fresh and so clean. LeBron was driven down the court on the top of the, he was on the top right of the screen, on everybody's screen, and out of nowhere you just see Steph get some cookies and just steal it right out of LeBron's hand, and then he ran down the court and then JR got in the way and fouled him. But I would have punted my phone had he done his transition three right there and made it, and I would have just punted my phone off of the couch, and it would have been fantastic. But there were so many, like, just Steph Curry FU threes that are some of the most disrespectful plays in the NBA, and I love it. I love it so much. It just, you know, reminds me just how much of a national treasure Steph is when it comes to just banging home threes. But yeah, it was a very entertaining game, the most entertaining of the series for sure. And it'll be interesting to see what game four. I wonder if LeBron is going to just go as ham as hard as he can. But I feel like he's going to realize that he doesn't have the horses to pull the chariot, to victory this year.
He's given it all, but it's one man can only do so much no matter how good he is.
Exactly. So, we also got some pretty big news tonight. We heard earlier today that Bob Stoops has retired from his head coaching job at the University of Oklahoma after 18 years. What are your thoughts on that, Max?
I was shocked.
Yeah.
I know there's rumors every year, like, oh, it's with these big coaches, are they going to retire? He is getting out there. I think he got off at the right time, definitely left on a high note. At some point you got to realize, hey, when this coaching thing is great, but you got to live your life. You get off when you can. I'm sure all the controversy with the school in recent years definitely was growing on him, and I can see why he would want to step back and move on. But this definitely hurts for Oklahoma and their program.
Yeah, I think it will hurt. Let me give my reaction to. Yeah, I probably said the F word about 16 times in a minute when I found this out. I just, of all the things I expected to hear today, that was not in the top 100. And I know Riley, their OC, had received a contract extension that definitely they gave him a pretty big raise, but I didn't think this was coming. And I don't necessarily think that raise meant that this was coming either. And I've heard that people are saying that his health has something to do with it. Cause I don't know if you know, but his dad died on the sidelines of one of the games he was coaching, when his dad was 54 and now Bob is 56. And so, his dad died, I believe, from a heart condition. And so I'm sure that has some degree to do with it. I don't know how much, but at the same time, I don't think that there's really anything super fishy here. I mean, if you were in his shoes and you were a very rich millionaire man, would you want to spend your twilight years with your family in Norman, Oklahoma?
No, it's, I definitely feel that he, especially with that health thing, it's definitely the right time to get off. He's one of the most esteemed coaches in college football history.
Absolutely.
One of the, you could argue, the best overall franchise in college football history.
He is the best coach in in Big 12, in the Big 12 conference's history, he is the best coach. That's, I don't think that's pretty, that's arguable.
I think he did it there. I nothing negative to say about it. I think it's the right choice for him and his family. And I'm sure the university respects his decision. And I'm sure behind closed doors, I'm sure there's been preparations made in that. This does hurt, especially in the recruiting aspect of things. With his name, just alone, kids want to play for him. Not having him there will definitely hurt in that sense.
I agree.
I think just the brand of the university will make up for that fact.
Yeah.
I think they will still definitely be a contender year in, year out.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they are the University of Oklahoma. Riley is 33, so he does have something to prove, for sure. I think this year they have enough talent. They'll be fine. Next year, I think they'll be okay. But I do think I am a little bit worried about them on the recruiting trail because Bob could recruit with the best of them. I mean, you just look at his running backs that he's brought in. Adrian Peterson, DeMarco Murray, you know, Samaje Perine, Joe Mixon. You know, you have all of these guys that he's brought in, and he has a pedigree of just being able to recruit talent, especially in the state of Texas. And so it'll be interesting to see how Riley picks up from that, because I don't think he'll be – I mean, how can you be the recruiter that Bob was? And I do think that a lot of it was Bob, not just – the brand name of University of Oklahoma. I agree with you. I think this was the right time. I think he definitely avoided pulling a Mac Brown and leaving the program in a bad state. He didn't do that at all. He left that and he's got it in a good state, a place where it can sustain success for the next couple of years without him. You know, he's left enough there. He's built a legacy. I mean, he's worshipped in Norman, so. But I'll say this, as someone who went to a Big 12 school and grew up watching Big 12 football, the conference will probably take a step back because of the lack of a name. But for me, more importantly, and I think all schools except for Oklahoma can agree with this, the Sooners are going to be a lot less fun to root against now that Bob has retired, because half of the fun of seeing OU lose, other than the fact that it would finally shut up their band playing Boomer Sooner 100 times a game for every time something happened, good or bad, they would play it. Just seeing Bob frustrated on the sideline, seeing him spike his headset, which only, in terms of just hilarity, was second only to Steve Spurrier. I will miss him. I will miss rooting against him and just seeing him complain to the refs and yell on the sidelines. But, you know, Bob, you may have been in a lot of controversy recently, but, you know, I'll never doubt your ability as head coach. And I'm really going to miss chanting Bob Poops at games, so... Bob, I wish you and your family the best. Yeah.
I agree. I hope OU definitely, if they're new, it was their offensive coordinator that they promoted, correct?
Yes, Lincoln Riley, who was formerly the OC at East Carolina.
So that's very interesting. I'm sure if he ends up not panning out, they will definitely be able to pull a big-name coach within the next few years, but I do agree that they're going to be fine. It's Oklahoma.
Oh, for sure. For sure. They have a very good chance of making the Final Four next year. If the only frightening game on their schedule is when they have to travel to Columbus and play Urban Pizza Eating Meyer in the shoe. So, real quick, I only want to spend about 10 more seconds on this. Max, you have to bet $10,000 on someone winning the national championship year. Who is it? And give me your 5-second reason why.
USC. Sam Darnold.
Ooh.
The Darnold.
Ooh. Oh, man, you are just a man after my own heart.
I just, after seeing, it's been a while since we pod, we know, but TLDR, I went to the Rose Bowl, Penn State fan. Sam Darnold is the most talented quarterback I've seen play live.
Okay.
He has ice in his blood.
Yes.
He is... words cannot disguise. The Darnold is real.
Yes, Sammy D is the truth, and it'll be fantastic to see him go number one overall in the NFL draft next year.
To the Cleveland Browns. As tradition.
Or maybe the Niners.
That would be, oof.
But we'll have an NFL pod later.
But what is your 10-second take?
Man, this is tough. Okay, so here's my answer. My answer, Alabama.
Of course.
Why? Revenge, Nick Saban, Nikki Six wants to add one more ring. I believe this is what trip to the national championship? He went to one with LSU, and he's been to
since
four?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah. This is the first one he lost, correct?
I believe so. So yeah, Nikki's on his quest for six, or I'm pretty sure it's for five. This will be his fifth.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. He wants a ring for every finger.
And yeah, he'll probably get it at some point.
And just who's gonna rise up and beat him this year, other than SC and they?
Florida State, man. I think they're gonna be big this year.
That's what I was about to say. And guess who Alabama plays in week one of the season?
Florida State.
So, you know, that'll be a fun game to watch. I'm kind of sad that it's at the beginning of the season, because I doubt that both teams will be playing their best football at
like
the start of the season.
Like what happened to USC, Alabama last year.
Exactly. But man, college football can't come back soon enough. So now moving quickly on to baseball, the Houston Astros are apparently the overlords of baseball this year. Hot take, they're not winning the World Series. Just kidding. They probably will.
But they're insane. They're everything has just clicked. They still have more in the tank. They have probably the best pitching prospect in baseball right now. They have a few very good outfielder prospects that are about ready to come up. So they are not through. So it'll be really interesting, especially what they do with the deadline. I don't even know what they would need, maybe another starter, which has been rumors that they might trade for Yu Darvish, which sounds terrifying.
What? No.
Rumors are rumors, man. But
I was going to make a joke that they're going to make rumors to trade for Chris Sale.
Oh, my God. That would... But I don't know. This has been a weird season. The Twins are in first place. Mike Trout isn't playing baseball.
That breaks my heart, because he was destroying people.
Depending on how the Angels do in the stretch without him, should cement him as a perennial MVP, even though he already has been, because he is that team.
No, we like everyone that knows baseball knows that Mike Trout, that the Angels are nothing without Mike Trout.
They honestly should trade him, but I don't know what team will have enough to
exactly like to justify him. That to justify, yeah. I know what you're saying. Just like looking at his career WAR is hilariously like just high.
He has more his best season so far compared. He's above Miguel Cabrera in terms of WAR already, and he is only a few years older than Mason and I.
So that's
we wasted our life. Should have played baseball a little more.
Oh, well, hey, does Mike Trout have his very own blog site? I don't think so.
Has he actually wrote for Players Tribune? I don't know.
He probably has, actually, TBH. Oh, okay.
And also, the judge is in session.
Yes. The judge's quarters, the court, is now in session. Fantastic. Aaron Judge. The Yankees have somehow found the 6'7" reincarnation of Derek Jeter, just personality-wise, and he mashes homers.
As is tradition.
So, good for the Yankees, good for him. It'll be interesting to see how they fare in the playoffs, because their ace is just nowhere to be seen this year. But, you know, we still have a long ways left in the regular season. Moving on, let's... what have you been listening to recently? Any interesting music?
So I found a playlist that is all of the songs featuring, excluding Outkast songs, but featuring Andre 3000. It's been a very interesting listen. I don't know, I've been listening to that a lot recently. I don't know, I was hoping there'd be more albums this summer.
Yeah, last year we had Views, we had Lemonade, we had Coloring Book, but, you know, there have been some things that have come out, but I think this is also... we also had Anti come out as well, although that was a little earlier. But, you know, as for me, I've still been listening to the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 soundtrack.
Oh, it's so good.
Just doesn't get old for me. Awesome. So I'm still on that, still going back through some oldies. I'm going back through a Led Zeppelin phase, which I never thought I'd go back through again. Just going back through some hard rock. I think it was probably because once the Thor Ragnarok trailer dropped and so I've just been going back through that, and it's been enjoyable. I've definitely been more like amped, so I need to like do things while I'm listening to it. So I've just been lifting some heavy weights, some solid 5 pounders.
Wow.
Some solid, if you remember the Kevin Durant, Dwayne Wade, Gatorade commercial back from 2012. and if you look closely, you'll see KD's lifting. He has 25-pound weights on the on the bar that he's benching, and so that's been me. This is the 25-pound bench. But yeah, it's been good. And then so
About the big music news though, or do you have something else you're listening to?
No, that's pretty much been it.
Did you hear about Childish Gambino?
His next album will be his last.
Which I think his latest album is his best by far.
Really? What is it? I Love?
Yes, I absolutely loved it. I love that soul R&B style. Redbone is honestly it's one of my favorite songs of all time now.
I love that he commits to that sound for the entire album too.
Definitely. It's so unique, especially with what he did in the past and what has been popular recently. It was definitely a breath of fresh air.
Where would you rank that with his other, between Camp and Because of the Internet?
It's just hard to. There's just so different albums. Like he, with Because of the Internet and Camp, he was more about that. More of that comedy rap style. It more just making fun of the rap scene, like the hits of those albums, Bonfire, but just those, they're bangers. From top to bottom, his newest album is unparalleled.
I think for me, I don't think anything will ever recapture the energy and just the fun that was Camp, just from Backpackers to, like you said, to Bonfire to Now You See Me to Heartbeat, just those hits and just the lyrical just genius that he kind of showed the world in his big reveal, because he had done covers before, he had done freestyles before. Freaks and Geeks is still one of my favorite songs lyrically that he's ever done.
Fantastic.
But it's not on an album. But I'll agree. Like Redbone, I think is probably not Redbone. I'm sorry. Awaken My Love is probably the best whole album.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the best songs are still on Camp. But you know, I love Gambino, and I understand why he's doing this. I don't think it's going to be his last album. I think in 8 years he'll probably come out with another one. But he's just so busy with writing TV shows, acting in TV shows.
Atlanta.
He's probably going to be writing the new Deadpool R-rated animated series.
He's starring also, in Spider-Man, right?
I don't think he's starring, but he's in it. And he's just the modern Renaissance man. So it'll be interesting to see where Donald Glover goes from here. I'm really happy and looking forward to watching where he grows. He's come a long way from just being Troy on Community.
Definitely. He is a jack of all trades. He's just an impressive artist through and through.
I guess now we're just going to move on to movies real quick. Go see Wonder Woman. It was fantastic. It was a ton of fun. Gal Gadot and Chris Pine, fantastic. Chris Pine is not the sidekick that we asked for, but he's the sidekick that every superhero movie needs. Loved him to death. Can't wait to see where Wonder Woman goes from here. Patty Jenkins, props to you for making the war movie that you always wanted to make. You fantastic woman director. You are just amazing, and I'm glad you exist.
DC needed this.
Yes, for sure. And it gives me hope. It gives me hope that DC movies directed by people that are not named Zack Snyder can't succeed. And not that Zack Snyder movies can't succeed, because I really enjoyed Man of Steel. I thought it was good. It's just, you know, he's just kind of gotten a bad rap for his gritty and gloom take on the DC universe. So that's what I've seen. You've seen anything recently that you were
recommend? Guardians of the Galaxy 2, we've both seen, I guess it's been around a month now, but that, I'm always so skeptical of sequels, especially when the original was just so great, but they really knocked it out of the park. They continued the same style that they established in the first movie, and they really ran with it. I really enjoyed it.
But yeah, but at the same time, it was also a different style movie. Like, you still have all the elements that you love from the first, but then James Gunn, the director and writer, did a great twist with all the characters. I personally think I liked it better than the first, just because I think you get a lot more character development here. I like the villain, the plot better, but both movies are magical. So honestly, if you say that they're both equally good, then honestly, I have no quarrel with that. So I guess our very last topic is the NFL. And like, just some quick NFL takes. Max, how do you feel about this upcoming season? Can anybody stop the Patriots?
Well, first off, what the heck is Kansas City doing? And the Jets too. Both of them have been making some very surprising cuts, especially in the wide receiver department.
Oh, yeah. Well, with Macklin, I think the Macklin one I sort of understand, just because he was hurt, he hadn't really been delivering, and when you get a guy like Tyreek Hill who can apparently come in and be your number one guy as a rookie, that's kind of like a wake-up sign, like, hey, why are we paying this guy X amount of money when we have this younger guy who's making less and producing more? Mm-hmm. And so I get it from that standpoint. I don't know if I would have cut him. Why did they wait to cut him now?
Yeah. What, so late in the game, what are you mm-hmm. benefiting from this? Most of free agents are done on the market. Mm-hmm. Were you just over budget and you just need to make that final cut? I am very, very interested to see what both the Titans and the Buccaneers are going to do. I think they both had fantastic drafts, and I feel like they're one, I wouldn't say superstar, but very good player away from being at least a playoff contender. Do I think they're good enough to beat New England? Probably not, especially considering all of their offseason moves. But I feel like there is more teams kind of rising up.
So let me ask you, who's the one team that has the best chance against them next season?
Oh, man. I don't even know. Just the AFC? Or
just the AFC. Gun to your head. You get one chance. All right, who's got the best chance against Pittsburgh? Or against Patriots? Who is it?
That's tough. If the Raiders have a healthy Derek Carr,
that's a good choice.
I think it's them. If they do not, I would go Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think we need to see how good their defense can be. Oakland's can be next year. They don't have, like, obviously Khalil Mack, force of nature, just a cyborg. Their secondary needs to improve. I think we're gonna see Carl Joseph play better in his second year. Gary and Conley, the corner they drafted in the first round, will have some proving to do.
Did all his charges clear?
I'm not sure yet. I'm still unclear on that situation. But the team that I think right now, this might seem like a hot take, but I don't think it is. The team, I think, with the best chance against them, if they make it to a matchup in the playoffs, is the Houston Texans.
I can see it.
And that is solely because of J.J. Watt and Jadeveon Clowney and the pass rush. Because if you look at recently, the teams that have been able to beat Brady, it was the Denver Broncos and the Baltimore Ravens back in 2012. Both teams had great pass rushes, and they had solid defenses. And that's the way that you beat Brady, is you have to have an elite pass rush. You have to be able to get to him. You have to be able to get to him before he can get the ball out of his hands. And so with Clowney, it kind of showed that he was able to do that in the game that they almost beat the Patriots in, but they were very competitive in. And the fact that they were competitive in a game where Brock Osweiler was their quarterback, I think they have a shot. And if Deshaun Watson can just be, honestly, just average, or if he's slightly above average, then I think they have a good chance to win. But obviously, Brady's the king. You don't go for the king unless you know you can get the crown. So this is all fun in theory, but yeah. Until
what? What?
Because she's Red Damn Panda, she can do what she wants.
Just ESPN After Hours.
Thanks for spending an hour listening to Max and I. We're happy to be back, and we'll be getting back to you later this week with a pod that will talk more about the NFL and other sports topics.
Thanks for listening. If you would like, please feel free to follow us on social media, on Twitter at Pressing Cover, on Instagram at Pressing Coverage, and also feel free to go check out the main website, pressingcoverage.com, for more content. So yeah, thanks for listening. Will be loving.